Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Quick Slants with Buffalo University head football coach Steve Johnson. Quick Slants is a program that gives you, the fans, the opportunity to ask the Bethel coach questions about the Royals, football or sports in general, or just seek the coach's wisdom about life events that are going on. In this episode, the coach talks to us about his thoughts on the Super Bowl. He tells us what went wrong with the Minnesota Vikings, and he provides a little support to a woman whose child is kind of a hellraiser. So let's join Quick Slants.
So let's welcome back Coach Johnson. Coach, do you have any team updates you'd like to provide to us?
Guys are doing well. We just started our next phase in our lifting program, and guys are getting after it well. And, kind of some guys, you thin out your group and you get stronger, whereas you kind of just get guys that we got to make sure that, we're in this thing. I don't think people realize that football is like an everyday deal. If you're going to play in college, there's stuff you got to do every day for it. And, you don't just show up in the fall ready to roll. So our guys are doing well. They're working hard. They're working together. And it's a big deal.
How is recruiting going for you at this point?
Well, it's going good. Signing day is next Wednesday, and I think we'll know some things there. I'm sure there'll be a disappointment or two, but I think there's going to be some great things too. Not that we have a signing day, but there's a letter of celebration that our guys can sign at D3 now, which is a nice deal. And, in Division III, it lasts. Guys that are, kind of waiting for next Wednesday, and got a lot of guys that are pretty close to knowing, but there's still financial things to work out and so forth.
I would gather that even being in the off season, that there's still a schedule that the players are following, that you're kind of following. So what does that look like?
Well, the players have opportunities to, there's nothing mandatory, but the players have opportunity to work out and to work out together. And those, for every athlete, every person in our whole school, Rick Meyer does a great job making sure that everybody's got, doing the work that they need to get done for their particular sport and gaining strength. And if it's size or if it's, sometimes people don't realize that, some guys want to get bigger, but some guys need to get smaller, and some guys, so you can't just all do the same, back in the olden days, we used to go in there and do some bench press and stuff. It's a little more sophisticated now. So the guys have they know what to do. They know how to do it. We try to take as least time as we can because that's most efficient for them, but it's also, it's better for their workouts. But when they can do them together, there's a lot more synergy there joy and toughness and team stuff.
Before heading into fan questions, a lot of people ask me your thoughts on the Super Bowl. So what are your thoughts about this week's game?
I wish the Vikes were in it. It's kind of fun. I live, on my balcony. I can look at the stadium, and when they had the Minnesota Miracle, we could hear that at our condo, and it sounded like a highway was going through the living room. It was pretty fun. But I don't know who I'm for, really. I probably have to wait until it gets going because I like and respect Patriots, but I kind of like the underdog too, and so I'm going to watch. And usually for it to be fun, I usually have to be for somebody, and but sometimes I have to decide that if it's not a Chicago team or Minnesota team, I sometimes have to wait until the game starts for I know who I'm for.
Well, let's head into fan questions this week. So we'll start with Bruce. He says, when you look at the skill sets that are required at each position on the field, what do you feel is one that is necessary to be a great lineman or to be a great linebacker, et cetera?
Oh, boy. There's two different ones right there. A great lineman, you've got to really lock in and know your job and take your, we talk about that first step, and it's critical because you have to react to something. Somebody, people don't realize what an offensive lineman has to understand and know. And then, you know, as a coach, you want to give him a job that he can do. That's the probably the biggest critical part about coaching and teaching, is that we don't want to put a guy in a spot just because, you know, it's kind of cool to run this defense or this offense, and put him somewhere where, you know, he really can't be successful. And so we want to give our guys a chance. If they're going to block down, we need to teach them how to block down, do the best technique that we possibly can. But then in the middle of their down block, the guy moves and somebody else comes there. So they've got to be in the right position to pick him up. At linebacker, our best guys, Ross Pettersson, Seth Mathis, Landon Mathis, and Ross Pettersson, I don't know if I said him already, but I was thinking Billy Morgan. Those guys talked about their reads are like breathing, and what that means is they kind of can, you know, they might be keying the back, but they're feeling the guard, or they're feeling the back and reading the guard. And so there's just so many things that they're just you need a zillion repetitions at that, especially at that inside linebacker spot. And so that's really, it's very instinctive, but, you know, there's training, and then your instincts take over at both positions. And so those are, you know, it's hard to answer that question because it's pretty involved, and it's not one or two or three things. But it is training the base is the critical part of it.
Gail would like to know what you say to parents and students who are concerned about spending all this money on education, and they're concerned that they will have, that they may not find a job when they head out into the real world.
I graduated from college in 1979, and I had the same thing. What if I go and can't get a job? That's not a new deal. I think thinking down the road like that is, you want to go to a school that's got a good reputation, but if you're willing to work, you can find a job, and be the best man that you possibly can, best woman that you possibly can in the midst of your situation. So I think if you have the ability to go to college, I say go. And I think that not that you're going to get smart there, but you're going to gain experience that's invaluable. But you're also, it just opens up so many doors and avenues to have a pick for a job. If you don't go to college, there's just some jobs that you can't get if you don't have a college education. So that'd be one thing. The other thing is, it's a bigger decision in our opinion, and it's just how we recruit. And I don't care if you're a football guy or just a student, is go to a place and try to train and try to, you know, pick a major that where you can see yourself going and having and enjoying it. And then after that, you know, if the football's involved or something else, go to a place that's got your stuff where you can participate in that. And then most importantly of all, because it's going to build your life, it'd be to go with people that you care about, that are going to build good things into your life and you into theirs. It's not their job to do all those things. Sometimes we, you know, college isn't free. Education isn't free. It never was, but sometimes we think it was. In taxes, pay for it. And I just think that going to school and interacting with people is getting bigger and bigger. And, you know, we have online training, and I think it's I get worried about it. If it's a big part of an education, I'm not trying to be an old fogey or anything, but, you know, interacting with people and gaining ideas through synergy like that is so much more valuable than, you know, getting the right answers on a computer.
Todd would like to know, how do you think a player becomes a great leader on a team? Is it natural, or how does that work?
Yes. I think there's some natural things and you emerge, but everybody leads somebody, you know, and what you do is leadership, or if it's crummy, it's not leadership, but a different letter at the end. I just think there's a deal where, you know, I think we measure leadership too much. You know, somebody does something good that seems like it affected people good, and that's leadership, and it is. At the same time, the way you live your life, the way you interact with people in a consistent manner, you know, we talk about, you know, guys that love the Lord, love football, and love each other. If there's evidence of those things in our program, you're a leader, and I don't care how old you are or whatever else. You know, we talk about leadership being only for leaders. It's for everybody. We have a deal at our, you know, we talk about if our seniors are only leaders, we're in big trouble. You know, if our coaches are only teachers, we're in big trouble. We got to be in this thing together. And leadership, I think it emerges. And a lot of times it really can stem from what kind of life you've led and what kind of values you have. And, you know, if you lean into things, and you work through them, and you've gained some toughness and devotion to what you're doing, you're going to probably end up leading, and it's going to be a natural thing. So there's the natural piece. If you practice kind of ducking and blaming and stuff like that, you're going to lead, but it's going to be toward junk.
Greg would like to know, he says, I gather that there is a lot of reflection that goes on as a football coach where you are evaluating what happened last season so you can improve for the next. When do you move from evaluation, putting that aside, and focusing solely on the upcoming season?
I don't think you do that. I think you constantly evaluate. You know, it's more intense. It's a good question. It's more intense, you know, right after the season is over. And the busyness of a football coach is, and I don't, you know, I don't even understand it. So I don't expect other people to. And I've been doing this basically my whole life, but there are so many things going on at once, and the minute that the season is over, the recruiting thing happens, and you're working with your guys. You've got some guys that aren't going to be playing anymore, and you're mourning that, and you're trying to grow toward the next things. And there's kind of the joy of it is there's a constant there's just a constant evaluation and a constant manipulation of resources toward. Getting better, you know, and then you've got all the hearts and minds of the kids. And so we're kind of, you know, mind, body, spirit, and all those things, we're all in that. You got 100 guys that you're dealing with. And while you're doing that, you're trying to find guys that fit into your program on the field and off the field, and guys that have a heart for the Lord, and guys that will grow you. And sometimes, you know, a guy might be a great, like we just talked about, leader. He might be a great leader. He might not play a lot. Another guy might be just a great player. But we're looking for guys that fit. And if you're attracted to us, we're attracted to you type of thing. Not usually in that order, but sometimes. And if a guy feels right, you know, and a gal, you know, if they come to Bethel and feel like, you know, the soil is rich here, the classes are great and all the other things, but I think there's a lot more than you can get than just the classes.
We have a couple of questions from Rick. The first one is, what are the biggest challenges you face in recruiting these days?
I think teaching people what to look for. There's a frustration that people are so worried about the financial piece that they don't take a deep look at what they're getting, you know what I mean? And I think I'm the same way, because I'm, you know, we're all attracted to shiny stuff, and it's not that it's bad, but it, you know, you need to, you know, even if it's not, we tell kids, even if it's not Bethel, you know, find a place where, you know, it fits you, and where there's all kinds of people around you that you kind of want to be like when you grow up. And sometimes, you know, kids or even moms and dads don't get that far, because they're worried about money or whatever else. And so I would think that would be one thing at our level that you're concerned about. You know, spend a lot of time on, you know, people will just feel like they can't handle the financial piece when they really could have if they would have gone through the process. We really feel like any kid can make it work if we, you know, figure out how to knock it down and do those things. But you've got to value, you know, the education, but more the experience and the process, because it really is
I don't think you can put a price on what kind of man you're becoming. And when you go away for the first time, you, and then you're surrounded by a bunch of people your age, you got it. There's potential for greatness and danger.
Rick would also like to know if you think social media has made recruiting easier or more challenging.
Oh, boy. Way more challenging. You know, another thing I was going to say in that last question is frustration is that guys are, you know, somebody can have a good website or a good Twitter game and, you know, make you think that their school is something that they're not. I was going to say authenticity in recruiting, that we try to be authentic. This is who we are. This is who we're going to be. We had a Bethel Gridiron Club, basically an alumni football event, and talked about 1989. I came to Bethel and we said we want guys that love the Lord, love football, and love each other. And I was reiterating that to these guys, older guys that were there, and I said that it was kind of cool because last Wednesday I said that exact same thing to a family. And we need to stay where we are, and I think that social media is very distracting. It's pretty fun, and it's all those things. And I'm a 61-year-old, so I'm a little bit, I get, people make fun of me a little bit because I don't participate as much or I'm not really good at it from what they say. You know, I mean, I think they're lying. Anyway.
Lynn would like to know, what's your favorite part about being a coach?
I'm like a dad and like a brother to like 100 guys a year. And I love that. I love the team thing. I love our guys. I like the competition. You know, I like the, you know, some of the stuff we talked about earlier was, you know, kind of putting guys in the right spot. And, you know, it's a little bit like an engine on an offense. When you get your offense going, it kind of is like a engine that's purring and going. So it's there's some fun stuff there.
Next up is Smitty. He says, I don't understand what happened to the Vikings in that championship game. How do you score right away and then just get rolled over?
They missed tackles on third down, what they hadn't done all year, and so that was a tough thing for them.
Devin asks, do you think that the run that the Patriots have had makes them the greatest sports franchise of all time?
I don't know. Yes.
Ethan would like to know, he says, Tom Brady wants to play until he's 50, but I read his wife would like him to retire now. Who do you think wins out in that?
In my experience, wives usually do.
That's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Rodney would like to know, what's going on with the Blackhawks?
That's what I'd like to know, Rodney. I'm kind of not giving up on them, but I'm sad for them, and I think if they're going to rebuild, I'd like to see that, and if they're going to, you know, explode, I just think they're better than they are. They're just not, there's a spark missing somewhere. I'm not sure what it is.
Chris asks, he says, do you think that the Yankees have made themselves the favorite by getting Stanton?
I don't know. They were a pretty good team before that. I think baseball is, it's an odd game that way. And, you know, I think you'd have to say they're a favorite to be in the playoffs and in the mix, you know, for sure. And then I think anybody can win once you get to that, you know.
Eric would like to know from you, what do the Cubs need to do to improve and make themselves a World Series threat?
I'm leaving that up to Theo Epstein, because every time I start getting excited about something, he goes a different way or he does that. But I think that those guys know what they need. I think they know the, you know, I think there's a lot of great players out there, and I think that they're, you know, they don't want to add something. You don't want to add a hot shot that doesn't fit your chemistry, and you got to, you know, I think they need to strike out less, but I'd say that about anybody.
Peggy says, congressmen and women playing games on their phones during the State of the Union. Doesn't anyone have respect in this country?
Not really.
It sure seems that way.
Yeah.
Greg asks, where do you stand on the whole charismatic movement and their beliefs about such things as tongues?
I don't have time to tell you that. I believe in the Holy Spirit, and He can work in any way He wants. And you know, it's a gift, and you know, it's not for everybody. But I believe in gifts.
Henry asks, he says, because of how competitive you are as a coach, is it hard not to be competitive in other areas of your life? Like, do you have to win arguments with your wife, or when your kids were little, were you competitive in board games?
Yeah, we don't play board games very much, and I think it's because I'm a baby. Some people would call it competitive. I call it a baby. It's something I'm working on in my life. I'm a baby, and when I was a kid, I took the ball and went home, and my older brother, Dave, who's a pastor, used to beat the crud out of me. And I'm still bitter about it, but I try to win all the time, but I don't like myself sometimes because I'm kind of a baby.
Amanda would like to know, she says, do you think that people can still be possessed by demons? Because I watch the tantrums my four-year-old throws sometimes and pray to God that it is a demon and not genetics or how we raised him.
I think I'd not pray that it's a demon because I believe in them big time. And we don't see in our country demons, and they're all over, like people in, you know, third world countries see the evidence a lot more readily than we do, and we're too distracted to see what's going on. And I think that we are in a major war, so I'm praying the opposite of you is that the tantrums of your little boy are, he's probably a big baby, competitive competitive baby. I hope it's your DNA and not a demon. Pray for demons, because you'll get it.
And what are we praising the Lord and saying hallelujah anyhow to?
Praise the Lord that He's in control, and He's even though it doesn't feel like it. And He's a King of Kings, and I want to worship that and not undermine or question His authority. And I think that's a big deal. And I think we are in a war, and we got to stick to our base, and that's Him. And there's a lot of joy in that.
Awesome. Thanks for joining us this week, Coach.
All right, buddy. Thanks, man.
We want to thank Coach Johnson for joining us on Quick Slants this week. If you have your own questions you'd like to ask the Bethel Coach, please send them to us at stevejohnson@minorleaguesportsreport.com. That's stevejohnson@minorleaguesportsreport.com. Please have your questions to us by the first Wednesday of each month so we can give the coach a little time to review them before we record the show. I'm Rob Pannier, the managing editor of the Minor League Sports Report, and we'll see you next time on Quick Slants.